So now we're getting into the characters of the different elements. And I thought it might be helpful for us to tune to those breaths while we're listening to this, and then sort of go over this in our thinking, or feel the vibration of this teaching here Murshid is giving as we go through each one of these elements one by one. Does that sound like something that will be useful?
Okay.
So if you could sit comfortably and at the same time attentively with the spine straight so the breath can flow properly. And as we tune to the element earth, the prescription is that we tune to the tip of the nose. In fact, the glance with eyes closed would be directed towards the tip of the nose. And for a moment, those that are in the room at least, you can open your eyes because I have this wonderful handy-dandy visual aid. Joe and I have decided that we're going to keep the rest of these paper towels until we find some more of them. But it's so wonderful because this indicates the earth element color. I have some people, Moose is one of them, he always says, I don't know what color I'm supposed to visualize, so I'm taking this to camp with me. And this would be the color of water, not this. This is air, like the sky. So water, okay. And fire, of course. And you could see this in varying shades of color, like light that is coming through perhaps a gemstone. And then, of course, air. So earth, water, fire, air, and ether. You may see it as all of these colors dancing together, or a kind of rainbow, or sometimes people say it's pearlescent, a gray tone. It may be white light that's like a prism that, or diamond that the light is coming through. But this is helpful, yes?
Mm-hmm.
I hope so. Because I thought, somebody must be a Sufi that designed these paper towels. Because those are really the element colors. So the earth element is that gold, beautiful gold tone. And we're visualizing that in the form of light at the tip of the nose. And when we breathe in the nose and out the nose, it's as if we're drawing that color in and we're filling our entire being with that color. And you know, if you think of it, there's that beautiful practice, and we might do that together, where you make the horizontal sign across the heart where you say, this is not my body, and the vertical stroke, this is the temple of God. You can do that with me. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. And being the temple of God, the body, the physical body, is that substance of earth. And often when we go into temples, even if it's just at the place of the earth, a beautiful stone is placed there. And so we're drawing in from the earth element all the purification that it offers to us, and we offer back to the earth a prayer. The earth element gives us stability, and I'll read in a moment from Murshid's teaching, but again, as a way of tuning, feel the stability of earth. Feel it as our support. Feel your own body supporting the consciousness, which we've been told 2-3 times in these teachings today, comes from the one source. How extraordinary that these bodies have been formed and fashioned around that consciousness that we can give form and expression to that consciousness, honor that part of our being that is the earth that gives form to that. And we breathing in the nose and out the nose. And typically this is done in a rhythmic pattern of breathing into the count of four and out to the count of four. But for the benefit today of listening to these readings, we'll just concentrate on a rhythmic pattern of breath in the nose and out the nose. Concentrating for now on the earth within our being, the earth within our environment. This color gold. And if you can, think of this line of breath moving horizontally, so spreading out in its influence. And listen to what Murshid has to tell us, Hazrat Inayat Khan says about the earth. And think of this not in this external earth only, but in your being, your sacred temple that is also earth. The earth has various aspects of beauty, as well as a variety in its sound. Its pitch is on the surface. Its form is crescent-like, and its color is yellow. The sound of the earth is dim and dull, and it produces a thrill, activity, and movement in the body. All instruments of wire and gut, as well as the instruments of percussion, such as the drum and cymbals, represent the sound of earth. Earth has various aspects of beauty, as well as variety in its sound. Its pitch is on the surface. Its form is crescent-like, and its color is yellow. Instruments made of wire and gut. About drums and cymbals bring in the sound of earth. And so those of us that will be going this evening on to Zikr, we know that we have musicians there that use the drums, that maybe use cymbals. Think of that as honoring that earth element, invoking it, and bringing that element into the circle. In the nose and out the nose. The glance is to the tip of the nose, the eyes are closed. We're concentrating on this golden color, this yellow color. And for a series of five breaths, let's do breathe in that rhythmic cycle, in four and out six. So if you could breathe out, two, three, in the nose, out the nose, in the nose, out the nose. In, out, in, out, in. feel the invocation of the element earth. Feel the solidification, the vibration of earth that has come down through the elemental scale, bringing the consciousness down into the earth of our being, and the earth of the planet on which we stand. And with the invocation of that element, keeping in mind that Murshid has taught us earlier this afternoon that the elemental world is the world or the realm of our mentality. And when we invoke earth, we invoke a kind of courage and stability, confidence. We have 2 feet to stand on, and we're standing firmly. This is not my temple. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. This earthen body is the temple of God. The house of prayer, the house of existence for this consciousness coming from this one source. The illusion is that it's individuated. It's one and the same in many forms. So the awareness now lifts up. This is not to say that the miserliness of a human personality doesn't come into play, but behind all of that is this one source. We ourselves are even fooled by our own personalities. We think we are. But now we raise our consciousness to the bridge of the nose. The color there is green. We can visualize it in the form of light. Beautiful green emerald tones. And as we breathe in, we are not just breathing in and out the nose. We're breathing in through that center. We're vitalizing and revitalizing, opening and awakening that center. And we allow the breath to pass through the bridge of the nose. And this color green fills our body. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. And here the water element is invoked. The breath is in the nose and out the mouth. The direction of the breath is descending. There is a kind of gracefulness to this motion. Kind of surrender, even, but forward moving, like water has the tendency to travel and move. This is an element of accomplishment. And Murshid says of the element, the sound of water is deep. Its form is serpent-like. Its color green. It is best heard in the roaring of the sea. You know, it's like that magic of listening into the seashell and hearing the roar of the sea. See if you can hear that sound, even beyond the air being pushed through the vents in the home. Just tune to your inner hearing, the roaring of the sea. The sound of running water, of mountains' rill, the drizzle and the patter of rain. The sound of water running from a pitcher into a jar. Can you imagine that? You know, it's kind of a delightful little sound. From a pipe into a tube, from a bottle into a glass, all have a smooth and lively effect and a tendency to produce imagination, whim, dream, affection, and emotion. There is an instrument that's arranged of china bowls or glasses that are graduated in size and filled with water in proportion to the desired scale. More water lowers the tone and less raises it. These instruments have a touching effect upon the emotions of the heart. Maybe you've seen this played in Indian music, but sometimes we also know just the running of the finger over the rim of a glass when it's filled to a greater or lesser extent can produce the sound. So again, the glance with eyes closed is concentrated at the bridge of the nose. This has a physiological response also. We've spoken about this in other classes, stimulating different parts or different glandular functions within the brain, all producing the creation of various hormones and stimulation of nerves that create a sense of well-being, a sense of feeling united with something greater than ourselves, this consciousness, this source of which Mershon has talked about in these teachings, this feeling of a kind of compassion arises, a sympathy. So while breathing in and out the bridge of the nose, but in the nose and out the mouth, let's do this breath rhythmically together. And we first begin with an out breath, 2, 3, in the nose, out the mouth. In the nose, out the mouth. In, in, out. Now allow the consciousness to lift to the center of the forehead. And there we see the color of red. And it may be varying shades of red, like the dancing of light through a ruby, a jewel. But there it is in the form of light in front of the forehead. And as we breathe in, we absorb it through the forehead, allowing it to move through the entire being. Just as this is not my body, this is the temple of God. We often either enter a house of prayer, which is not different than our own house, this body, that is made from the earth. And there we always have some symbol of water, the element of purification and washing. And also we have a symbol of fire. Fire is always there. Illumination. The breath is in the mouth and out the nose. The motion is rising like a flame, lifting up, rising up. And as we breathe in, we no longer consider we're just breathing in and out the nose. we're breathing through that center, bringing that light into our entire being. And Murshid says, the sound of fire is high-pitched, its form is curled, and its color red. It is heard in the falling of the thunderbolt and in a volcanic eruption, in the sound of a fire when blazing, in the noise of squibs, firecrackers, rifles, guns, and cannons. All these have the tendency to produce fear. So one might consider, if one has the tendency to be fearful, it might be good to become masterful of this breath. But this breath also is an indication, now these are my words, not from the reading here, it's illumination. And you know, sometimes what we're most afraid of is what we really and truly are. It's too much to even think about, and perhaps even too much of a responsibility, and it makes us afraid. The mouth, in breathing in the mouth and out the nose, the direction of fire again is an upward motion. So the line of breath is moving in an upward direction. The glance is to the center of the forehead. We're breathing in through that center. And we can breathe this breath five times. I hope I'm keeping proper count. If I'm not, forgive me. I'm trying to keep us on five breaths, but I'm not sure that I'm doing that. But that's what it's intended. So we begin by breathing out. Two, three. Breathe in the mouth. Out the nose. In the mouth. Out the nose. In. Out. In, out, in, out. Breath and our consciousness rise to the crown. And above the crown we see there an orb of light in blue, the color of air, color of the vast blue sky. The breath is entering through the crown now, while we're absorbing the color blue throughout our entire being. Invoking the elemental air. The breath again is in the mouth and out the mouth. And these are the words of Hazaratanayak Khan regarding the element of air. The sound of air is wavering. Its form zigzag, and its color blue. Its voice is heard in storms, when the wind blows, and in the whisper of the morning breeze. Its effect is breaking, sweeping, and piercing. The sound of air finds expression in all wind instruments made of wood, brass, and bamboo. It has a tendency to kindle the fire of the heart. It has the tendency to kindle the fire of the heart. As Rumi writes in his Masnavi about the flute, Krishna is always portrayed in Indian art with the flute. The air sound overpowers all other sounds, for it is living, and the air sound overpowers all other sounds, for it is living, and in its every aspect, its influence produces ecstasy. In its every aspect, its influence produces ecstasy. So the breath is in the mouth and out the mouth. The glance is up to the crown of the head. The color is blue. And let's do the breath in a rhythmic pattern together, synchronizing ourselves, allowing ourselves to be filled with ecstasy. And we start by breathing out, 2, 3, in the mouth, out the mouth, in, out. In, out, in, out, in. Focusing our awareness on a spot above our head. There, if you turn your glance upward, you may have a sense or a vision, you may see a kind of perceptible light there. This is the element of ether. The element of ether is the culmination of all of the elements. And it's also the disbursement of all the elements. You may notice it as a subtle, or it may appear to you as a brilliant light. And in that light, you may recognize all the other colors of the elements. The breath is subtle, and it returns to breathing in the nose and out the nose, but in a very refined way, yet also very natural. There is no particular rhythm to this breath, for it is the element of ether, which may take on various rhythms and patterns as the elements do. you may find that as you've reached this element, the breath is indeed much more subtle and maybe has a quality of being more vast. And Murshid says of this element, the sound of ether is self-contained, and it holds all forms and colors. It is the base of all sounds and is the undertone, which is ever continuous. Its instrument is the human body. Its instrument is the human body because it can be audible through it. Although it is all-pervading, yet it is unheard. It manifests to us as we purify our body from material properties. The body can become its proper instrument when the space within is opened, when all the tubes and veins in it are free. Then the sound which exists externally in space becomes manifest inwardly also. Ecstasy, illumination, restfulness, fearlessness, rapture, joy, and revelation are the effects of this sound. To some, it manifests of itself. To others, when they are in a negative state caused by weakness of the body or mind. To neither of these is it a benefit, but on the other hand, it causes them to become abnormal. This sound only elevates those who open themselves to it by the sacred practices known to the mystics. Its instrument is the human body, because it can be audible through it. Although it is all-pervading, yet it is unheard. It manifests to us as we purify our body from material properties. The body can become its proper instrument when the space within is opened, when all the tubes and veins in it are free. Then the sound which exists externally in space becomes manifest inwardly also. Ecstasy, illumination, restfulness, fearlessness, rapture, joy, and revelation are the effects of this sound. The sound of earth and water commingled has a tendency. The sound of earth and water commingled has a tenderness and delicacy. The sound of earth and fire produces harshness. The sound of earth and air has strength and power. The sound of water and fire, he's describing now the etheric element, by the way. It's all the elements. So I begin again. While you're concentrating on the etheric breath, the sound of earth and water commingled has a tenderness and a delicacy. So in this etheric breath, manifest only in this human body, do we have all of these elements that are commingling and producing these various results. So listen again to Murshid's description. The sound of earth and water commingled has a tenderness and delicacy. The sound of earth and fire produce harshness. Sometimes that is necessary. Yes. The sound of earth and air has strength and power. Sometimes we need this. The sound of water and fire is lively and it has an animated effect. The sound of water and ether has a soothing and comfortable effect. The sound of fire and air has a terrifying and fearsome effect. The sound of fire with ether has a breaking and a freezing effect. The sound of air with ether produces calm and peace. This is not my body. This is the temple of God. May all the veins and the tubes, as Murshid said, be cleansed so that we can become the hollow reed. It is the hollow reed that becomes the perfect instrument. The breath of God moves through that. Consciousness becomes manifest through the elements in the human body. That this has been a benefit. It's a lot, but know that we have our trusty Cabrilla here. We'll be making these teachings available online, and these things are not necessarily to be apprehended and grabbed onto with the mind, but one has to trust that the vibrations, as Murshid was talking about, have entered into the mind stream through the vehicle of the elementals, and it will have its onward producing effect. You know, it's as if once a bell is rung or struck, it can't be unstruck. In the same way, these teachings, the vibrations of these teachings go on and on. We may not even know it at a very, really extremely, you know, thinking level, but it's there. It's having its influence. Do you believe it? I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know that.
Yeah. Are there any questions about anything that's been shared here or read or about the breaths? Yes, Rashida.
You said consciousness creates. I was wondering what the dream state is. Because some people have very creative dreams but get there sort of unconscious, but other people have crazy dreams. And
it's, you know, if you would ask different people of different traditions, they're going to give you different responses.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask a Jungian psychologist, well, it's all about the dreams. Or if you ask a Freudian, it's not so much about the dreams. If you ask a Tibetan Lama, they're going to tell you it's all illusion. It's all empty. So I can't answer that, and I'm not in the moment. Maybe some of the other senior students here recall what Murshid has to say about dreams. There are some Sufi groups that would put a lot of emphasis on dreams and the interpretation of dreams.
And so is that a conscious creation or unconscious creation?
Again, I think it depends on who you're asking. You know, I mean, a Jungian would say it's coming from the unconscious mind.
Okay.
Which I have the tendency to believe, but I'm not a therapist. But I think they can be, well, let's put it this way. I know they can be revelatory as well. I mean, dreams can be prophetic. They can be giving us indications about things. And I think they're highly personal. This is my personal opinion. I think they can, it's a little bit like that prayer Razul. It can be warner of coming dangers, wakener of the world from sleep, deliver the message of God. Dreams can be that as well. So I think some people that use dream journals have found them beneficial. I know there's some people in this room that do that, and that's helpful. Did that help?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I was also wondering about, I was thinking about that a bit too, because in today's teaching there was, Marshall was talking about becoming the commander of our thoughts.
Yeah.
And then, and when Rashida brought up dreams, I was also thinking about the Tibetan practice of becoming lucid in those dreams, which is a different way of being in a dream state also. Yeah. I don't have a question, it was just things that were coming up in the teaching today.
There is a kind of dream yoga that is practiced in some traditions, and that is, you know, there's a great emphasis put onto the thoughts that take you into your sleeping state. And so it's always, some people know this, and I'll just share the practice that I do. I repeat kind of the lineage of all the illuminated beings that inspire me as I go to sleep. It's like silently I repeat their names 3 times. And I imagine, actually it's a picture in this book, which I can show all of you, but there's a beautiful picture to the Nabi, I follow in thy footsteps which lead me closer to the eternal goal. And I imagine that I'm walking, I'm the last in the line of these series of great beings, and I'm walking in their footsteps, and goosebumps when I think about it. But that's how I try to go to sleep, so that whatever's arising in that state is informed by that inspiration. You can use that if you like. It's a very wonderful practice. Any other questions or comments? From our Skype friends from afar, anything from there? That's good. Then it is done.
Leah, you did great.
Didn't you do good?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He just
did
the whole time.
Yeah, it was right there.
Melina, it has all been wonderful and restful.
Thank you so much. So I think we'll conclude. Before we conclude, however, I do want to mention this is our PSA, public service announcement. We have the texts are available here. You know that we try to make those available through the center, and things are marked if you're interested. They're here. Everything that I've read from, except for those unpublished papers, are available. I did want to also let you know there's this, I don't know, does anyone want to speak about this? I feel awkward, but I think I should let you know. I think you may enjoy it. That a friend of ours made a DVD, and he's not only a friend, he's a Murid, Luyo von Gestel, a friend of ours at summer school, and his profession is a videographer, and he works for television stations and things. And this, the talk that I gave a year ago was The Mysticism of Silence. And for 30 years, he's worked in this field. And, you know, they have these big lights and these big cameras and everything. And they were so excited about the content of the lecture, so they went home that evening and they started to, you know, look at the video, and it was like the main camera that I was mic'd to was blank.
And no sound.
And no sound.
Silent.
Wow. And I said, well, you know, the lecture was on the mysticism of silence. So, and we laughed and laughed. And I said, but he said, we do the secondary camera, which was all ambient sound and sort of more focuses on the people that are at the lecture, it was working. And I said, well, maybe you can make something creative out of it. And he really did. He's taken it. They've used all this ambient sound, which I kind of like because it's more, feels more like a live space. And all of the references that are given, you know, because I do talk about the Symphony of the Spheres, and I give this beautiful example of a witnessing a raga lesson in India, and, you know, all, and the birth of a baby. And so he's made this, it's like a National Geographic film. He's done a beautiful thing where he has these, like, drops of water, scenes of the cosmos, or, so it's, the lecture's all interwoven into that, and it's beautiful. Mm. It's better than just looking at, I think, at a lecture. So these he's made available to us, and they're $10, and they're DVDs with sound and video. So anyway, that's something that you may or may not be interested in. You can play it on a DVD player or on your computer. They work. Joe and I checked them this morning. Okay. We'll rise and we'll say the prayer katoon together, but let me just mention again, class is free, you know that. We don't charge for it. We do accept, gratefully, donations. I do want to encourage especially those students of mine from afar to commit to perhaps even making a regular donation, which you can do through online. I know some people here have done that. It's $11 a month. That's, what is that a week? $2.75 a week? Mm-hmm. That's not a lot. So think about that. Over a year, it makes a difference, and you know that we use that money to help other people. So, in fact, at summer school, I gave money on the behalf of this whole group to the Darga project, where Hazrat Anak Khan is buried in India. So all of our contributions go to help in bigger and bigger ways, which bring merit back to us and goodness back to us. So be as generous as you can. We don't expect anything that you cannot give freely or with joy. But it is, there is a donation basket, and PayPal or send checks. That's the practical part. Okay. Shall we rise and say the prayer cutting? He's such a good yoga boy.
Yes.
He does his downward dog. Ooh, you have to get in the circle. There you go. That's a good boy. Oh, thou who are the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty. The Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide us. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit, and unite us all in thy perfect being. goodness or benefit that's been created today go to benefit all sentient beings. Thank you, Marshall.